Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Hi, my name is Marilette. My name is Jimmy. My name is Richie Richie. Hi. Do you know who this is, James?
I do not.
Wow.
This is one of the hits, man. This is Eminem.
Okay, to be honest with you, and provide a little behind the scenes here, when we were coming back from break, I was the clumsy guy who tripped over my headphones.
You were listening when I said that.
I heard you say it. Yeah. I had no idea what the song was.
Now, would it have rung a bell?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's a Dr. Dre beat, man. Yeah.
I could have lied to you, tried to pull that off, but no. I don't know who it is.
Well, because you're an honest guy.
Yeah, yeah. But that was like the most clumsy I've been in quite some time. All right, so our guy Richie Carney wrote a column that appears, you can check it out on denverfan.com. And he talks about this Aaron Rodgers situation because it seems like it's a bit of an impasse, right? Like, if you're the Packers right now, you have no motivation to trade Aaron Rodgers because what you're going to get isn't going to help you this season. It's probably going to be draft picks, or what you would want even at this point. It's draft picks. Those draft picks are just as valuable now as they are in March as they are now, probably even more so because at least you'll know what the pick is. Right now, you could be trading it to Denver. You don't know what the pick's going to be. If you trade him to the Broncos, you're actually going to make your situation worse because that pick's going to end up being, what, 27, 28 instead of potentially a top 10 pick. So you have to do something to force the issue to make them want to trade you and not just say, fine, call your bluff. You can sit out if you want. He thinks Aaron Rodgers needs to be willing to be the bad guy because he's done a good job. We talked about it earlier. He's done a good job of playing the PR game, right?
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't ticked off his teammates. He hasn't ticked off his fans. He hasn't said the fans in Green Bay. He hasn't said anything negative. But he's gotten nowhere. So I think he needs to be willing to be the villain. And Richie did a great job of pointing out examples where this worked, right? Like recently in the NFL, Khalil Mack did it when the Raiders were in Oakland. Trent Williams did it to get out of Washington. Jamal Adams with the Jets. Jalen Ramsey wanted out of the Jaguars. Worked out great. They got paid. They went to better teams, better situations. Back in the day, John Elway didn't want to play in Baltimore for the Colts. Said, I'll go play baseball. Eli Manning didn't want to play for the Chargers. Forced them to trade him to the Giants. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And if you go somewhere and you find success, nobody remembers that Khalil Mack forced his way out of Oakland. It was just like, yeah, Raiders got a bunch of draft picks, and Khalil Mack went there and excelled under Vic Fangio, and you know, you kind of forget about it. I think there's a decent, I think there's a really good point by Richie that's about all Aaron Rodgers can do is, and I think he should show up at training camp and just have it be uncomfortable as all get out every single day where everybody's having to answer the same questions over and over and over again to where the Packers get to the point and say, we gotta get rid of this situation and trade him. I think that's his best play at this point.
So to make it uncomfortable just narrative-wise, like in the media? Like,
yeah, it's just, you know, we've all been in those situations where it's just it's tense.
He's still going to be a good teammate. He's still going to be working hard.
Yeah.
By being the bad guy, you mean through the media.
Yeah, and just, you know, you can constantly take jabs at the front office and the coaching staff.
Give me an example.
What do you think of practice today? How things look? And well, it's not, you know, it's not necessarily.
Could be a lot better if Gutekunst wasn't
right,
here.
Right. You know, yeah. Those kind of comments.
Yeah. Well, the guys you mentioned, the examples you gave, those guys had been on those teams for only a couple of years. They didn't have legacies on those teams. And so I think some of the difficulties Aaron Rodgers has had navigating this interest he has of leaving the Packers is his feelings about that legacy and his connection with Green Bay. Like, he obviously values his time there. He's been there for 16 years. He has a Hall of Fame career happening just there in Green Bay. He owes a lot to that city, to the organization. And so I think the idea of blowing that up by being Mr. Bad Guy, in his mind, probably threatens what that legacy would be and would kind of piss on a lot of people that he cares about, you know? And so I think it has been a delicate situation for him, trying to figure out how to get out of this organization without burning any bridges, because he's obviously not comfortable doing that, or else he probably would have, right?
I don't know. That's a good question. And I guess I just look at it. I don't think he's comfortable being the bad guy, or yes, he would have. But if he, you know, became the villain here, right? Because neither side wants to be the villain. The Packers clearly don't want to be the, and Rodgers doesn't want to be. If he just kind of said, heck with it, I'm going to be the bad guy. I want out of here. I'm tired of playing in Green Bay. I'm tired of playing for this organization. I don't like the people running it. I want out. There'd be fans that would be ticked, for sure. But 5 years after he retires, when he, you know, strolls into Canton, the crowd for the speeches that night are going to be packed with people in Packers number 12 jerseys. When they're going to retire
the ones that haven't been burned.
No, they're going to.
If he forces his way out on as the bad guy, they're going to burn those 12 jerseys.
They'll be mad.
Whoa,
now.
So what? I want you involved in this because you wrote it. So tell me a little bit about that, because obviously he cares. He cares what people think about him, or else he would have come into this conversation a long time ago. He's letting people do the talking for him because he's scared of how he's going to come off. So how is he going to be the bad guy when he's so insecure?
Well, that was my point, was I said he needs to let go of those emotions. He needs to stop caring and stop worrying so much about not being liked, because at the end of the day, time heals all wounds, feelings fade, and people will get over it. If LeBron James never went back to Cleveland and won a championship, Cleveland fans eventually, and probably by now, would be over the fact that he left Cleveland. They'd say, he had to do what he had to do. It's water under the bridge, whatever. He would, because he's that good, and he did what he had to do. It's not going to impact his legacy because he upset people to do something that he thought was what was best for him.
I mean, Nolan Arenado had to wait 3 months before he came back and got embraced by the organization, the fans. Like, nobody held a grudge against him. The only example I can come up with where the grudge has been held a long time is Melo.
Yeah.
Like, people will not let that go. I mean, that's been almost a decade,
mm-hmm.
and they won't let that go. But, Richie, I think you're right. I think for the most part, after time, it's a little bit like, you know, a relationship, right, and a bad breakup. Over after time, like, right when it happens, you're mad, and you're just talking about all those things that person did, and you're venting to your friends to the point where they don't even want to hang out with you anymore because they're tired of hearing about it over and over and over again. 5 years down the line, you're remembering the trips to Cabo. You know, you're thinking about the good times.
Yeah. I think the nature of the breakup matters, okay? How did the breakup go? Was it a messy divorce?
Oh, it's ugly.
Was it ugly? Well, yeah. the uglier it is, the
People
longer
throwing stuff onto the lawn.
The longer those feelings linger, man. I mean, LeBron James wasn't a super messy breakup when he left Cleveland, was it?
He went on national television and dumped his girlfriend in front of everybody.
Right. Well, he said he's taking his talents to South Beach.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
But then he came back.
He dumped his high school girlfriend for the Super Bowl that
he came
in college.
He came back with his tail between his legs and made good. You see Aaron Rodgers going back to Green Bay after he comes to Denver for 4 years?
He won 2 rings in Miami, and they broke the team up.
Exactly. So then he came back and said, I love you guys. I'm back.
But he only came back because of Kyrie and Kevin Love were coming with him.
No, he came back because he was insecure about the way it ended and wanted to finish it right.
See, there's just, if they do, they shouldn't, in terms of fans having that much power over what athletes think.
Oh, I agree with you.
Who really cares, right? Like,
well,
look at the trail of broken hearts that Nick Saban left between LSU, Michigan State, the Miami Dolphins. You think he loses sleep and tosses and turns at night on his crimson colored pillow with his unlimited amount of championship rings at Alabama? No, because he doesn't care.
Yeah, but he's a coach. He can do this forever. Aaron Rodgers has a finite number of years left. 3, 4, maybe 5, maybe not even that much. And so it's a huge gamble for him to force his way out in the twilight of his career when he back-to-back seasons, he's one game away from the Super Bowl and he bails on you. I mean, that's kind of a big slap in the face.
Here's the difference, though, between Aaron Rodgers and LeBron is Aaron Rodgers has delivered a championship to the Packers.
Yeah.
He won one there, right? So I think when he goes back to get his number retired after he comes to Denver and has 4 Peyton Manning-like seasons and leads the Broncos to 2 Super Bowls and 1 title.
Oh.
After that happens, and he finally goes back to Green Bay and they retire as number 12, they're going to be showing his Super Bowl highlights. They're going to be showing the Hail Mary against the Lions. They're going to be showing the double Hail Mary against the Cardinals in the playoff game. That's what they're going to be talking about, and everybody's going to, you know, embrace him. And they did the same thing for Brett Favre. I mean, they had 60,000 people in Lambeau Field when Brett Favre just walked in and waved and said, like, nine words. That was it. There wasn't a game. There wasn't anything going on. It's just, welcome Brett back to Green Bay Day.
Yep.
I think they'll let bygones be bygones.
Well, I think into a division rival, too.
Yeah, I think it depends also on on who follows you. Like, yeah, they love Brett Favre because they got to play with Aaron Rodgers afterwards. Like, what happens when Aaron Rodgers leaves, forces his way out, and then they just go down into the tank and have five straight losing seasons and just hit the skids and are losers after that? They'll really hate Aaron Rodgers because it's all his fault that they suck.
It may be his fault, but it's not really his problem.
Ooh.
At least that's how he should look at it.
Yeah.
If he wants to get what he wants.
I agree with you, Richie, 100% that he needs to be clear about what he wants. I don't think he necessarily needs to be a bad guy and, like, sabotage it and be a jerk and tense and all that. But literally state what you want. And
I'm done.
Yeah. It's like stop putting Adam Schefter through this and Mark Schlereth and everybody else who's like, delivering your message right now, and when they ask you, you say, there's a lot of wisdom in silence.
Well, you know what? I think you're 100% right, right? Like, he wants his cake and eat it too. He wants to go somewhere else, but wants to be loved by the Packers fans, loved by his teammates, loved by the coaches. Like, at some point, if you want something different, you have to be willing to just say, you know what? I'm going to make some people mad with this, but this is what I want. This is what I think is best for me. I got to go in this direction.
Yeah.
He's trying to have it all, and it's one, it's not going to work. I don't think there's, like I say, there's no motivation for the Packers to trade him because they're not going to get anything else, anything more for him by doing it now instead of in March. And he's not making the situation better. He's putting other people through – I don't know if it's difficult times. Like, you know, do you really feel bad for Adam Schefter? Adam Schefter gets to, you know.
I do because he's worked
some stuff.
No, but he's worked really hard, dude, to be considered a very reliable source and someone who gets it right. So for him to have to be, you know, seeing this drag on and having Aaron Rodgers not kind of come out and say, yeah, I did say that. Yeah, I do want that. Adam's right. Is a slap in the face to Adam Schefter and the hard work he's done. We did just get a pretty cool text.
Okay.
I want to read it. Rodgers is already the bad guy in Wisconsin. I currently live in that state. Don't judge, and they're beyond fed up. He's too big of a personality for this fan base. Giannis has taken his place as the sports hero, and Giannis has been open about wanting to stay. It's easier for them to hate Rodgers because they have a replacement hero. Mike from Milwaukee.
You know what? That's a really good point with Giannis there. It does. I think it takes some of the heat off of him, right? Like,
yeah,
they got something else to focus on.
Yeah.
It's a different sport. I get it, but They've got another hero that he just won a title. Like, it's not as though.
But he's he's everything right now that Rodgers isn't.
Right.
In a way, like, he wants to be there, man.
He's the polar opposite.
Yeah. And you see Rodgers trying to jump on the bandwagon with his little tweets, like, yeah, go Bucks. Yeah. We're Bucks strong or whatever. Like, no. Yeah.
But 4 or 5 years ago, this situation would have been like, man, all Wisconsin has is the Packers.
Yeah.
And you're ruining that franchise. Well, now that situation's not quite that way.
That's correct.
It never really was, but, you know, the Brewers have been pretty good. The Bucks just won a NBA title. I think it makes it a little bit easier, but I'm with Richie. Aaron Rodgers just needs to grow a pair and be willing to be the bad guy if that's what he really wants. Otherwise, he's just being a drama queen and forcing everybody to talk about him.
Yeah.
Which is.
We're all sick of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
agreed. I think we're pretty annoyed with it at this point. All right, the name, image, and likeness bonanza that has started in college sports has gone to another level. This is pretty hard to believe. We'll tell you what it is coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Nate, this week we learned from Nick Saban that Alabama quarterback Bryce Young is potentially on his way to earning seven figures. He hadn't played a game for the Crimson Tide. Seven figures off his name, image, and likeness. So that's pretty amazing. Pretty good recruiting tool that Nick Saban just kind of dropped out there because he knew the media would run with that, right? And throw out there and be like, hey, come to Alabama. You might earn seven figures.
Did he say who he's earning that money from?
He did not. He did
I think
not.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it, you know, we don't know if it's, you know, is he doing commercials for, for Tuscaloosa Ford?
Right.
Or is he just, you know, dropping a couple things on Instagram? We have no idea. But seven figures, which is pretty crazy. I will be curious to see how that's going to fare in the locker room if one guy's making $1.2 million and everybody else is not.
Mm-hmm.
Like that will be
that's a problem, man. That's
time.
A problem.
The other part of it that I don't think people really take into account is I don't think this is going to bring new money into college football. I think it's going to just divvy up the pie differently. Right. And these numbers aren't accurate, but just because it's easier to think about. If there's $10 million being donated to Alabama, right, from people that just, you know, they paint their house crimson, they drive a crimson Cadillac, you know, just those people that just donate all the time. Now, instead of donating $10 million to the athletic program because they love Crimson Tide football, it's going to be $9 million to the program and $1 million to Bryce Young. Like, I don't think it's 10
so
plus
it can,
one.
Are there any parameters as far as how they get this money? It can just be a donation from a donor?
Well, you know, it would come
some shell company or something.
Yeah, it would come in the form of, you know, the guy who owns Tuscaloosa Ford, right? He, you know, he used to give a ton of money to the program, and he would come to all the booster dinners and do all that kind of stuff. And now, instead of doing as much of that, he's paying Bryce Young to do commercials for Tuscaloosa Ford.
Yeah.
He's not spending a dollar more than he used to. He's just doing some here and some here.
Right.
So I think it's going to eventually take money away from the athletic programs, which really isn't going to hurt the football teams. The football teams were making plenty of money. But at some schools in particular, that is going to impact other athletic programs, right? Like in most schools, the football team pays for virtually everything else.
Yeah.
Some schools, maybe the men's basketball team does. At UConn, the women's basketball team does. Maybe there's a school or two where baseball is able to pay for itself, but every other athletic program or every other team is paid for by football. Now we can, you can make the argument that's not fair, and I wouldn't necessarily disagree with it, but that's just a setup. So for this very small number of people who actually could benefit off their name, image, and likeness, Bryce Young clearly is one. Trevor Lawrence would have made a ton of money. Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, all these guys, but it's a handful. All those guys, now they'll get what is fair and what's equitable and what's owed to them. But that's going to have a negative impact on a much, much, much bigger group of people that I don't think people take into account. I think people think this is going to be, all that's going to stay the same. And now new money is going to come in to pay Trevor Lawrence and Johnny Manziel and Bryce Young. And I don't think that's the way this is going to go. And I think that's the long-term implication that people maybe are overlooking.
So do you think some of these programs are going to get dropped?
I think in some schools, yeah. I think it's going to turn into, there's going to be a 32 to 48 team super league, right? That's going to be, if you're Alabama and Clemson and those schools, if you're Alabama, why on earth are you giving a portion of your SEC TV money to Vanderbilt every year? Nobody's tuning in to watch Vanderbilt. So it's going to turn into, we're not sharing this with anybody. We're going to have 48 schools or 32 schools or whoever that all bring eyeballs and help us, you know, draw more money, and we'll split it up with them like the NFL does and stop giving it to schools that don't bring anything to the party. So I think if those schools, they get left out of that 48 or 32 or whatever it is, then yeah, I think athletics will have to turn into essentially intramurals, essentially club sports. Like, you know, hockey is at CU. I think that's what we'll end up seeing.
Yeah, there's going to be all sorts of ripple effects from this that we have no idea about. And I know a lot of people are excited these athletes are going to get paid. I don't think it's going to be as clean and as efficacious as we hope. I mean, if a company starts paying a guy $1 million, they're going to want something for that $1 million. They're going to want him working.
Yeah.
He's going to have responsibilities. So he already has responsibilities to his football team. He's already trying to get an education. And now he's going to have responsibilities to whoever's paying him. So it's going to create a dynamic there that's going to, of course, affect the sport. It's going to affect these teams. It's going to affect the locker room. You know, you said, well, what happens when one guy in the locker room is making $1.2 million and everyone else isn't? Well, he becomes a celebrity, but he also becomes a target, you know, from nefarious designs. Everyone, you're a kid, not a kid, but you're, you know, 20, 19, 20, 21, and you got $1 million and you're on a college campus with a bunch of broke students. Well, there's going to be some broke students plotting against you. So there's a whole new host of problems you got to think about. Master P's son. He's gotten sponsored by a tech company. He's going to make a lot of money, right? There's a volleyball player, a female volleyball player who's got a sponsor from some based on her Instagram following. So the reasons why these young athletes are going to make money isn't just about their value on the field. It's about their celebrity status.
Right.
So you're going to get female athletes who are getting endorsements because they're attractive.
Yeah, I think so, if we're just being realistic about it, that's what's going on.
And because
to happen.
They have a robust Instagram following.
Correct.
And so it's going to incentivize them pushing that further. So you're going to create this weird balance on an imbalance on these teams where the best players aren't getting paid. It's actually the hottest or the most popular or, you know, pop culturally most relevant, which if I'm a coach of a team, sounds awful to have that dynamic on your team. Hopefully, you know, good coaches will be able to navigate it and get their teams to play well, but it's going to create some strange opportunities. And look, I think that more money isn't necessarily, you think there won't be more money thrown into this. I think more money will be thrown into this by tech companies, for example, who never would advertise or put money into the system. Now they're doing it. And I think more money in college sports is not the answer. I think less money in college sports isn't the answer. I know that's a little bit of a pie in the sky way to look at it. I went to a D3 school. We had no money around. I had a very, very pure football experience playing college football. I got to go to school and play football with my friends.
Well, here's the good thing. I think most schools will turn into that.
That would be good.
I think there will be a handful, and 48 sounds like a lot. But in the grand scheme of things, of the number of schools out there, it's not that many. 48 will be big business, big time football, basically
pro football.
You know, pro football for kids that aren't, you know.
So why even go to school?
Like, aren't 3 years
they're not
going
to go to class. They already aren't going to class.
Right.
They're not
going
to go to class anymore.
They're
not going to get their degrees. So why even create that, guys?
Well, and here's the other problem. Now it's trickling into high school. Mikey Williams, who's from, he's a guard from San Diego. He's 17 years old. He has, you know, a ton of Instagram followers. I think he has 5 million Instagram followers.
5 million, jeez.
He's the number 7 overall prospect by ESPN in the class of 2023. He just signed with an agency because the only reason high school kids couldn't do it is they didn't want to lose their college eligibility. Now they can go out and tap into this too. Look, it sounds great that if your name, image, and likeness is worth something, you can make money off of it. None of us, I don't think many of us anyway, have a problem with that. But it's what that leads to and what that creates that is just totally getting overlooked in all of this.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of greedy people out there just licking their lips and rubbing their hands together knowing that they're about to go try to take advantage of these kids, take advantage of this system. What could go wrong giving a high school kid $1 million and pairing them up with an agent?
Yeah,
that won't
be a problem. And you won't end up with any more overly zealous parents trying to get their high school kids, get their Instagram followers up so they can get bigger money. It's just, look, you can't not change things because you're afraid of potential problems. I understand that. But, man, this just feels like it was not thought through at all and is going to lead to all sorts of issues. All right, hey, real quick, we are giving away Space Jam tickets. Be caller 4 right now, 303-713-1043, to win Space Jam, a new legacy prize pack, including a pair of complimentary tickets to see the movie. All right, 2-3%. Is that all we've seen in the Broncos quarterback battle? That's what Vic Fangio and George Payton are telling us. Do we buy it? We'll talk about that coming up next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
James, you know this song, right?
Feels like something,
just waking
70s?
Up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kinda odd. No barking from the dog, no smog. And mama cooked a breakfast with no hog. I got my grub on, but didn't pig out.
I'm thinking maybe the original song that they're sampling here?
Yeah.
That had to
the
be,
beat.
Yeah.
You're probably right about that.
Maybe a little heat wave from the 70s?
Yeah, I don't know anything about heat wave. That's Ice Cube.
Okay.
It was good day.
I'm going to go with heat wave because nobody's going to tell me I'm wrong.
Okay.
I don't know what they were sampling. Hey, Broncos training camp starts next week. We'll be down there. All of us will be watching practice. Everybody's going to be focusing on the quarterbacks, understandably so. But I think there are a lot of other things, Nate, that will be interesting to watch. A lot of battles that will be interesting to watch. But I'm also curious. We didn't get to see last year's training camp, but we saw 2 years ago, Vic Fangio's first year. They come out, they go 0-4 in September. We didn't see last year, they come out, they go 0-3 in September. He's 0-7. The Broncos historically, even under VJ, were really, really good in the month of September. They have a huge home field advantage playing at altitude when it's 90 degrees and teams still aren't 100% in shape. And Vic Fangio's been 0-7. Not all at home, but he's 0-7 in September. I'm really curious just to see what is he doing different to try and kind of break that trend. When you're down there at camp and you're watching stuff, is that a storyline? Is that something that's going to pique your interest at all?
Yeah, it really is, because like you said, 0-7 in September, Vic Fangio needs to come out of the gate hot this year. So how do you create a training camp that propels these guys into the season in high gear? Because they got to come out swinging. I used to be, relatively recently, I was harping on, you got to have a physical training camp.
Old school.
Old school training camp. Like, you got to get ready. You got to develop that callus. You got to hit. You got to go hard. You got to have live periods. You got to simulate games.
And that was the buzzword 2 years ago at training camp, calloused. It felt like we heard that from so many guys. Calloused, calloused, calloused.
Well, that is a real thing. You know what I mean?
Because sure.
Because back when I played, we did. We Mike Shanahan was very good at the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't overwork us, but when it was time, he did. You know, we had those periods that were live. We had goal line periods. We hit each other a lot because you are going to do that on Sunday. But The modern athlete is evolving. Like, I was talking to a former teammate of mine, and he was talking about how, and he's an assistant coach now, and he was talking about back in the day, he was one of the biggest guys he was a little over 300 pounds. He was one of the biggest guys in the offensive line room. Now, basically everyone is over 300 pounds.
Yeah.
These guys are bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, and they train differently too. And so they cannot withstand that type of punishment. Their bodies, it's not that they're not tough enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that their bodies can't withstand it. Something snaps, something breaks, something fails them. So how do you prepare a team for a football game, which is ultra violence, high speed, technical mayhem, while protecting their bodies? Now, in my mind, there's an element of you just have to accept some guys are going to get hurt in training camp. You have to prepare them for it. But you also have to pull back at certain times. And I know the CBA has restrictions on how many padded practices they can have and how many times, you know, they can hit, trying to reduce those injuries. And there's also 90 guys on the roster, which is a lot of dudes. Like, training camp is supposed to be to give the bottom of the roster a chance to show what they can do so you can figure out your depth.
Right.
Like, most of the time, they got the starters penciled in here.
Yeah, they probably have, what, 40 guys they know are going to make the team?
I would say 30, 35. Yeah, between 30 and 40.
You know, the starters, the rookies, the specialists.
Yeah.
Probably adds up somewhere in there.
Yeah, and so training camp really is for the bottom of the roster to figure out. And so for me, it always was that was hugely important for me. And the reps you get matter. And when you're, you know, there's 15 receivers on this roster right now. 15. How do you get all those guys reps? How do you get a look at all those guys? And so I'm really interested in seeing this delicate balance that Vic Fangio is going to have to be in charge of, protecting his players as much as he can, but also preparing them for football.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. You mentioned the CBA and the limited practices. It's almost where you wonder if a rule that was put in place to protect people actually ends up having the opposite effect, right? Because one, they don't hit as much, so maybe they aren't ready when the season comes for that kind of live action, and all of a sudden you're playing however many plays in the game, and it's like, oh my gosh, I haven't had this. And it also allows you to train different because you have to get through a different kind of training camp, and then all of a sudden you get out there and things are snapping because your body isn't built to carry that kind of weight. Your tendons don't change, but your muscles do. Maybe it's that. The other example of that, and I've always said this, real quick before we get out here, I want to see your thought of it. I think the rules to try and limit big hits
have actually made it more dangerous. Because back in the day, and this must sound like the old guy, back in the day, quarterbacks wouldn't try to squeeze the ball into that window because their receiver would get their head knocked off by Ronnie Lott or Dennis Smith or Steve Atwater or whatever. Now, those plays become an option because you don't think you have to worry about it, but some of those collisions are unavoidable. Is that poppycock, or what do you think?
You know, this might surprise you, James, but I agree with you.
Ending on a high note.
I agree, because and not only just those ones that you squeeze in, but the downfield throws that where you're just like, oh, I'm just going to take a shot and just throw it. Well, like most quarterbacks wouldn't do that, you know, because back in the day, because it's a really unsafe throw. Unsafe for the guy who's trying to catch it, and also unsafe because it might get picked.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, let's just throw it up down there. Either he's going to get a penalty or, you know,
an interference call.
Or something. So it does create some more reckless play out there. I agree with that. And not only that, but, you know, you try to take the headshots out of it and they go for the knees.
Right.
Like you ask any single player out there where he'd rather get hit, I'd rather take a headshot because I can still run.
Right.
Like I'll probably be as messed up as that sounds. If I can't run, my season's over. If I have a concussion or I get lit up a little bit, I'll be all right. And that's, you know, maybe harsh for people to hear that, but it's a reality. And when guys are afraid of going high, and so they go low, man, that can end a career.
Well, it took us 3 hours to get to this point, but we finally found a topic that we agree on. It is a good way to wrap it up. Hey, man, it was a ton of fun. We've done stuff like on Facebook Live during the Bronco games at halftime. I've been on shows that you've been hosting and vice versa, but I don't know that we've ever done.
We've never sat across from each other, so, like, you know, opposite the plexiglass. And I got to say, James, you're not so bad.
it was a good spirited debate. I appreciate it. It was fun. All right, keep it right here. Drive coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.